Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.
Accrued Interest is brought to you by Monocle Solutions, an independent, results-focused management consulting firm specialized in banking and insurance. Now, it's time for our monthly edition of the IntelliDex Banking Update, which is fantastically put together by Nawandla Mthombeni, Senior Banks Analyst at IntelliDex. Nawandla, where has this year gone, firstly? Now, if we survey the banking scene, I think globally, obviously, what's gone on in the UK has been a big talking point in the bond vigilantes. Locally, impairments do seem to be creeping up. What does your IntelliDex Bank Performance Index tell us?
So our index, which basically measures bank performance and its momentum, is made up of, you know, five components, being loan growth, deposit growth, revenue, payments, and ROE. And what we're seeing is that, you know, throughout the first part of the year, we saw some really strong momentum in terms of loan growth and revenue, and even deposits were resilient. And on the other side of the spectrum, though, impairments slowly started ticking up. And we actually saw an acceleration between July and August to show that actually some of that pressure that has been caused by the increasing rates as well as higher inflation is starting to come through in these numbers. So those global dynamics of inflation are now finally showing up in the bank performance, but not that it's alarming, but we can definitely see that the trend has turned completely and impairments have been on the rise.
And you know, it's only natural when you start to see interest rates rising that you start to make provisions for greater likelihood of defaults. What is the trend revealing? Are we going to see an increase in provisioning into the new year?
So if we think about the recent inflation prints, which was priced slightly to the upside, it tells us that, you know, inflation is still feeding through into, still going to feed through into the end consumer. And as a result, we're not expecting that the current trend of impairments increasing to kind of change in the short term. So we're still seeing additional pressure coming through. And then over, it's only into next year, maybe in the second quarter, we actually start, as inflation starts coming down, that we expect payments may start being released, if at all.
Now, if you look overall at the operating environment for our banks, generally rising interest rates are quite good for banks up to a point, depending on the health of the economy. How are our banks doing at this particular point in the cycle?
So if we look at where, you know, the different metrics that measure credit risk, and these would be typically your credit loss ratios and non-performing ratios, these are still very much well managed. So as much as impairments are on the rise, if you think relative to the entire book and the quality of the book, it's not alarming, which tells you that the banks have done a lot to ensure that they write good credits over the period since 2020. Although there has been some aggressive parts, and we think that there were probably some, you know, too much loosening of credit taps in as far as vehicle financing concerned. But I think the sector overall has actually managed the inflationary pressures quite well, and there will be pickups, but I don't think that they're going to be at the kind of COVID levels that we saw during the peak of the pandemic.
Yeah, and of course we're chatting ahead of the SARB's MPC meeting tomorrow, where it looks like consensus is for 75 basis points, potentially 100 if you look at where inflation came in today. What are you expecting?
So if we think where inflation has come out in the result today, it really is just a slightly above where consensus was. So it's not so significant that now the outlook has changed. So as a result, I think, you know, market pricing in 75 basis points is not likely to change, and that's where it'll be. Of course, within the MPC committee, there are going to be some very hawkish members who will still probably want to go do be aggressive and go for 100 basis points. But I think at this point in time, I think, you know, the doves will likely going to, if we can even call them doves at this point, will probably win and we'll get 75 basis points.
Yeah, that's probably what I'm penciling in as well. So tighten your belts there, folks. If you've got credit card debt, start paying that off. That's the most usurious on your personal balance sheet. Are we nearing globally here a Fed pivot yet? And a lot was made about that after the CPI in the US came in slightly less than expected. But all the Fed speakers that I've been watching ever since then have been at pains to say, listen, guys, in the market, we are really determined to press ahead with our aggressive interest rate hikes. So I'm not seeing a pivot just yet.
Yes, so I think at this point in time, I don't think, you know, anyone knows where it's going to go. So I think if you are, you know, in the position of the Fed, I think you want to, the kind of tone you want to see in the market is more of a hawkish one than a dovish. I think in terms of managing expectations, I think having the economy expect more hikes is going to obviously be much better than the shock that might come with slowing down. But at this point in time, I think it's, you know, the better option is to say, look, you know, we don't know where it's going and we're preparing for hikes. And then, you know, if they don't, it's a positive surprise to the market, will be received well. But I think, you know, anything could happen within the next couple of months, you know. So, you know, it could be spillover effects from, you know, weaker macros in the UK and Europe. So I think given the uncertainty, I think it's too soon for now the Fed to announce that they're, you know, changing positions or, you know, slowing down the brakes. I think they need a few more data points to be able to say that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they're going to continue. And we'll see tonight the FOMC minutes for any further clues on how hawkish or potentially pivotal the language sounds. I don't foresee too much in the way of pivoting over the next few meetings. Now, obviously, we've been talking quite a lot about Credit Suisse over the last few months. There was that market fear about a potential collapse. It's announced its strategic update and its third quarter results. What did you take away from it?
Well, the actual, you know, AGM actually came out today where they got actual approval for them to receive that $4.2 billion that they required to do restructuring. So with this approval to do the restructure, they obviously, you know, they've got some time to kind of stabilize the business, make the necessary changes to have them be profitable again. Obviously, those not will not happen overnight, but I think if they didn't get this capital support from shareholders, it would have been a different story. But I think given that at the EGM, the shareholders approved the capital raise, I think, you know, it's going to be stable for the short term, and we'll see how management can actually execute on their plans to turn around Credit Suisse.
And then speaking of global banking issues, and we obviously saw what happened in the UK with the bond vigilantes making Kwasi Kwarteng the shortest-lived Chancellor of the Exchequer in living memory. It's taken a big impact on confidence, and house prices in particular have taken a big hit. What does the data reveal?
Yes, I think we pretty much expected that, you know, there will be some price pressure in terms of the UK house price market. I think now it's finally showing up. And, you know, previously, we know there was a report, you know, earlier this year where they were actually having like record house price growth. So it was really looking positive. But this has now changed. And now we've had like the biggest drop in house prices since July last year. As it stands now, you know, many of the big lenders are seeing negative price growth for house price growth for this year. And funny enough, Investec, which had the results out last week, shared the same sentiment where they are forecasting 3% or, well, 2.9% house prices to go down. So that is coming through, and there are going to be additional pressures given that inflation is continuing to shock to the upside and had reaching record levels in the UK.
So again, not good news in that UK economy, and we did see a lot of that come through even at 91's results with its outflows and really struggling in that particular market. Coming back home, it's been 4 months since your last interest rate tracker update, and since then we've seen the prime rate rise by 150 basis points. You track four savings products here: immediate access accounts, tax-free savings, which I love and I think are underutilized, and we really should have a higher threshold there, but anyway, the 32-day notice account and a 24-month fixed deposit. And then you compare rates for 5, 50,000 and 100,000 deposits. What does it reveal? Because it does look like there's less competition in pricing at the moment.
Yes, definitely. So if you think about it, retail deposits form funding for banks. So at low levels, obviously banks will scramble and try to fight for competition in this category of funding so that they can gain market share, because it is much cheaper than corporate funding and wholesale funding. And by now we have seen that the rates have gone higher, which means that the cost of funding being these retail deposits are much higher. So we're seeing the banks be less competitive compared to how they were when rates were low. In fact, if you look at the margin between what the highest banks offered and the lowest banks offered, this has gone down by about, the spread has probably gone down about anywhere to 15 to 100 basis points. So we're seeing those dynamics playing out, that, you know, when rates are higher and some banks are now, you know, making changes around the edge to kind of get that market share growth. So overall, we're seeing that, you know, banks are going to not, you know, try to fight aggressively as much as they did when rates were low.
Right.
And we think that, you know, this is going to be the trend going forward, given that rates are still on the rise.
Well, there we go. Nawande Mthombeni, thank you very much. I think this is our last chat for the year, so I wish you all the best over the festive break. Hope you have a good rest and look forward to chatting to you about all things banking in 2023, the year of the rabbit. I wonder what that means for banks here in South Africa. Take care.
Thanks, you too.
That was Nawande Mthombeni, Senior Banks Analyst at IntelliDex, with this week's Accrued Interest on Classic Business, which is brought to you as always by specialist management consultants Monocle Solutions.
From bank vaults to ones and zeros in the cloud, the world of financial services has changed dramatically over the years. For over two decades, Monocle Solutions has supported banks and insurers around the world as they navigate this change. As a bespoke execution partner, we help bridging the divide between business needs and the complex systems, processes, and data at the heart of our clients' operations. From Cape Town to Amsterdam, Johannesburg to London, Monocle Solutions, we design change. For more information, visit monoclesolutions.com.
For the next insert of Accrued Interest with specialist management consultants Monocle Solutions, listen to Classic Business next Wednesday at 20 to 7.
Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.